Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Let me tell you a story back from when I was 10 or 11 years old, and I was staying at my family's cottage. And for some reason, on this particular weekend, I was staying in one of the bedrooms that I didn't normally stay in. If you were to get to know my family, you would notice something unique about that cottage and my parents' home. My dad has trouble falling asleep if there's any light in a room at all. And so every bedroom has thick blackout blinds. So when we go to bed, the rooms are pitch black. So I grew up like that. So this particular night, I went to sleep, no problem. But in the middle of the night, I woke up and I had to use the bathroom. And so I got up, strolled over to the door, and thump. It was a wall. They moved the door in the middle of the night or something. And so, no problem, turn around and head back to the bed. And, oh, it's a piece of furniture for some reason. And it's pitch black in this room. And every time I would walk to another place where I thought the door might be, it wasn't. And as I did that in the middle of the night, half asleep, my panic level began to increase, because there is no way out of this room. In fact, there's just weird furniture and no door. And every time I had an unsuccessful try at that door, my stress level and my anxiety level increased. So this summer at Living Waters, we're doing a series called Full. This is based out of Jesus' words, "I have come to give them life and life to the full." And so this is based out of the Gospel of John. The Gospels are part of Scripture that tell about the life, the teachings of Jesus. And so there's four Gospels in our Scripture. John is one of those four. Now, John does this task of telling about Jesus and his teachings. John does this in a very unique way. One of the ways he does that is through seven sayings of Jesus. And we're journeying through that this summer, taking each of those seven sayings. They're called the I Am sayings of Jesus. So, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. We've talked about those two in previous weeks, and they were fantastic messages. If you haven't had a chance to listen to those, I would really encourage you, go to lwchurch.ca and have a listen to the podcast on those. Very inspiring messages. In the future weeks, we're going to cover I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. All of these beautiful pictures of who Jesus was that reveals his character to us. Today, we're going to also take on an I am saying. It is, I am the gate for the sheep. If there were 10 top sexy sayings of Jesus, this would not be one of them. As an Alberta boy, the picture I get in my head is of barbed wire fences with a fence post every 10 feet, and then where you need to get a vehicle or animals out, a metal gate. I threw a picture up of what was in my head here. And this metal gate sitting there, and I go, man, so here is the person who has changed my life in Jesus. He has taken me from darkness to light, from shame to freedom. All these wonderful things, and here is my Savior saying, I am that. I think I'm missing something here. So hopefully, over the next little bit, I can bring some fullness as to what is meant by I am the gate. Because it sure doesn't sound like a lot. The first place for us to start would be to actually read the scripture where Jesus says that. So this is in John chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn over to John chapter 10. If you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. We're going to put the words up on the screen for you so that you can follow along. We're going to read from verses 1 to verse 10. Here's what it says. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, just like I didn't. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, says Jesus, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Beautiful piece of scripture. So let's start by dispelling the Alberta gate thing, and let me teach you a little bit about the Middle Eastern sheep pen. So the Middle Eastern sheep pen would have been built not in a square or a rectangle like we would be familiar with, but rather in a circle. And they would pile stones around in this circle. If it was a temporary sheepfold, they would use sticks or something like that to build a circle. And they'd make these stones or these sticks about waist high. They would also, on the top of these stones, they would put what my children call prickle bushes up on top of there so that anybody who tried to come in would have to deal with the dreaded prickle bushes and maybe dissuaded from doing that. They would then leave an opening, I presume about as wide as the fattest sheep, so that they could get in and out of that sheepfold. And so that's the Middle Eastern sheep pen. Helpful, right? No, not really, maybe. Would it be helpful if I told you that there typically wasn't a gate? Also not helpful for our scripture, is it? So as I pondered this, I thought maybe it would be helpful if I took it into a context that maybe we were more familiar with, and that's parenting. 10 years ago, before my wife and I moved to here to the Lower Mainland, we lived in Ontario, a small city called Brockville. Those who are familiar with the area would recognize it as Brock Vegas, because the only exciting thing to do there was to go to the casino and gamble. But we loved Brockville, beautiful city on the St. Lawrence River, and we loved our house that we had there. Beautiful, older house, great yard in it. But there are a few things wrong with the house. It was old, number one, so I was constantly fixing stuff. But as parents, there is one major problem, and that was the staircase. The staircase in this house did not have a landing, and so it was a straight shot from the top to the bottom. And so we were concerned about our kids, our daughter at the time, that she would fall down, and there was no soft landing spot in there. It was all the way down. To make this even more dangerous is that staircase was hardwood. Even the railings were hardwood. And so this staircase was dangerous for our newborn daughter. So the common solution to that is to put a baby gate at the top of those stairs so that your child can't fall down it. One problem with the child gate is, even though I've done years and years of post-secondary education, I cannot figure out a baby gate for the life of me. And so that wasn't a good solution, because I would have to call my wife every time I wanted to go up and down the stairs. And so what we did is we didn't put a baby gate there. Rather, what we would do when our daughter was wanting to play around the top of the stairs is we would actually put ourselves between the wall and the banister, the railing, and we would just sit there. Well, little did we know that we were actually tapping into our obvious Middle Eastern heritage by doing that, because that's exactly what the Middle Eastern shepherd would do in that sheep pen, in that opening that was made for the widest sheep. When they got all the sheep in, they would actually sit right in that opening to keep the sheep safe, to make sure none of them got out. Now, there were two reasons why they did this, and why we as parents did this for our daughter. The first one is obvious. It's for protection. My wife and I would sit at the top of those stairs so that our daughter wouldn't come and fall all the way down those hardwood stairs. We want to protect her. Same with the Middle Eastern shepherd. They want to protect the sheep. They want to make sure nobody got in who shouldn't be in, or no animals got in who shouldn't be in there. They also want to make the sheep, make sure the sheep wouldn't get out. The second reason isn't quite as obvious. See, for us as parents, we would sit there because it didn't take very long until I realized that I actually didn't want to help my daughter up and down the stairs when she was a teenager. And so I realized that I needed to teach her to go up and down those stairs. So by me sitting in that spot, when she wanted to go down the stairs, I could easily say, absolutely, let's go, and I'll teach you how to go down those stairs properly and safely. And it didn't take very long until my daughter was able to do that, and we didn't have to worry about those stairs anymore. So the first reason that we did that was for protection, but the second way was actually about freedom. Now, I'd love to say it was altruistic, it was all about her and her freedom. It was actually just as much about our freedom as well. The Middle Eastern shepherd, it was the same thing. You see, the Middle Eastern shepherd would seat himself in the midst of that opening. He would be the gate. But as he did that, he would, as it was nighttime, as the sheep were resting or just grazing, he would sing songs. And he would talk to the sheep. He would take little naps. And in the midst of that time, the sheep would get to know their shepherd. They would get to know his voice. They would get to know the unique rhythms of his breathing as he slept. They would get to know what he smelled like in the midst of that. You see, that Middle Eastern shepherd, it wasn't just about protecting the sheep. It was actually about the sheep's freedom as well. Because as they got to know his voice, when he wanted to take them out to pasture, when they knew his voice, he wouldn't have to go and keep on rounding up the sheep. He would simply start talking and walking. And those sheep would come and follow him because they knew his voice. They knew everything about that shepherd. And so it actually brought freedom for those sheep so that he could lead them into good places. That gate was about protection and freedom. So Jesus gives this speech in John chapter 10. This speech, whether you picked up on it or not, is actually a severe critique of those who would entice other people to follow that leader for their own gain. This speech was done at a time that you're actually quite familiar with, whether you realize it or not. Some of our scriptures say it was done during the Feast of Dedication. You would recognize the other name for that, more commonly known as Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a celebration of, during the Maccabean era of the Jewish people, the Greeks had come in and occupied, and in the midst of that occupation, they had defiled the temple. While Judah Maccabees came in, he freed Jerusalem and rededicated the temple. And in the midst of that rededication, they went into the temple to relight the lamp, and they realized that there was only one day's worth of oil left. And so they lit the lamp anyway, and that lamp burned for 8 days. Thus, you celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days. Another part of celebrating Hanukkah is recalling the failed leadership of the temple during the Maccabean era. You see, the Jewish priests had actually compromised the temple worship, leading to the temple being desecrated. Let me read a section from Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, "What sorrow awaits you shepherds, you leaders, who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, you wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak, you have not tended to the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. And so here we are in the midst of this celebration of Hanukkah. The second thing that's going on here is that the chapter before, Jesus has just healed a blind man. You'll recall this story. Jesus heals the blind man. The blind man goes to the priests and the leaders of the time, and he goes, "I've been healed." And they go, "Who healed you?" "Jesus did." "When did he heal you?" "Today." They go, "Today? It's the Sabbath today. This man is not from God if he healed on the Sabbath." So here you have a man who's been blind his entire life. And Jesus has stepped in and set him free from this thing that has held him back his entire life. This man has found freedom. And he comes to the leaders and the priests of Israel. And what do? They show no concern for him whatsoever. They go, "This healing has gone against the rules of our time. And that means that our power is being withered away. This will not do at all." No concern for the sheep. It's all about them. And so in the midst of this, Jesus comes with what we're looking at in John 10, in the midst of Hanukkah, in the midst of the blind man being healed. And Jesus comes in and says, "I am not a thief like a lot of the spiritual leaders around. I am actually the gate that provides safety and freedom for you." Beautiful picture where Jesus steps into this lack and this unhealthy place. And he stands up and says, "I am the gate." The way this gate is effective is if the voice of the shepherd is known. It takes intimacy. It takes knowledge of the shepherd. It takes proven trustworthiness. Where the sheep know the shepherd and know that the shepherd has their best interests at heart. And Jesus is saying, "I am the gate. I am the one who sits in that place that you can get to know so that you know that you have safety and freedom." Let's go back to that story of me as a young boy in that cottage bedroom. Keep on coming up against those walls in the pitch black. Can't find my way out of that room. The panic level rising in my life. I get the feeling that that's not the only place I've felt that panic. It's been other times in my life. I remember distinctly a time where finances for our family were not going well. Every month there's less and less money in the bank account, and there's a timeline. We couldn't do that for very long. And I remember thinking, going, "Okay, I need to create more income," and heading that way and running into this wall. And I'm like, "Okay, well, if we can't create more income, then we have to cut costs," and then running into this wall. And every time I would run into those, the panic level would increase. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've experienced physical pain where every potential solution you go to is like that wall that you run into. And every time you try and find a solution, your stress level, your anxiety level goes up. Maybe it's emotional discomfort in your life. Maybe you struggle with depression or anxiety. Maybe it's relational struggle in your life, where you keep on trying to deal with relationships and everywhere you turn seems like a dead end. And with each figurative wall, the panic increases in your life. Well, what happens in the midst of that? Well, in the midst of that, we begin to listen to the voices around us. Voices that may not have any merit to them at all. Maybe voices that actually haven't been proven at all. They're just the voices around us. Culture speaks, so we listen. Because it's loud, and we'll take anything at that point. Can I suggest a better way today? If we want the safety and the freedom that we desire and that the gate provides, there's a better way. You see, when I was in that bedroom, fumbling around for what seemed like an eternity, but it was probably about 30 seconds, fumbled around running into furniture, feeling along walls, not being able to find this door, in the midst of that, I heard a voice. And it said, "Ryan, are you okay?" Oh, it was my mom. I said, "No, I'm not okay. I need to go to the bathroom, but I can't find the door." A couple seconds later, click, the door's right here, Ryan. Oh, hearing my mom's voice. I knew my mom's voice. I knew it was a safe voice. I knew it was a voice I could trust and be confident in that she would help me find the solution to finding a door out of the room. The door didn't move, just in case it was in the same place it was when I went to sleep. As we conclude today, may I suggest that we learn Jesus' voice in our lives. Jesus is speaking to us through this scripture this morning. He's saying the only way to find safety and freedom from the things that plague you is through Him and Him alone. Everything else will come up short. Jesus wants to be your source of safety and freedom in your life. He is the gate for the sheep. He's not the rusty old gate that we find in Alberta. No, He's the one who puts Himself in that place that we must go to and through for safety and freedom. And Jesus is proven. We're discovering that throughout this summer series where He says, "I am, I am, I am." That Jesus is proven in who He is. Unlike men and women that we come across, unlike our culture, Jesus truly gives us what we need. So, if you are not a follower of Jesus today, you would say, "I'm not a Christian." First of all, let me say thank you for coming. We love that you were willing to join us today. And so, you're more than welcome to be here. However, I would like to ask you to make a choice to avoid the struggle of survival on your own, and to recognize Jesus as the gate to safety and freedom. This can be done simply by praying, by asking Jesus, "Would you come into my life and be that gate for me?" That's all it takes. If you are a follower of Jesus today, I ask you to ponder this question. Do you know the voice of the shepherd in your life? The world has been changed by followers of Jesus who have heard His voice and have acted on what He said. Today, Living Waters, there are people in this room who are stuck in a place of that figurative dark bedroom, and they keep running into pieces of furniture and walls that they weren't expecting and didn't think were going to be there. They're fighting through that today, Living Waters. And our community, both here at Living Waters, but also our community that's broader, they need us, Living Waters, to know the voice of Jesus in our lives so that we can step into those situations for them and they can be like my mom and so that we can say, "Johnny, is everything okay?" And they can go, "No, I can't find the door. I can't find the way out of this situation." And we can be truth and life in the midst of their situation. Living Waters, we need to get to know the voice of Jesus and be able to walk out in it. So, do you know the voice of the shepherd in your life? It starts by recognizing his voice and allowing him to be the gate in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment, we thank you for being the gate. Lord, it seems like such a weird analogy. I am the gate, but Lord, there's such truth in it that you are there in relationship with us. And we get to know you deeply. We get to know your voice. And in the midst of that, Lord, you provide safety and you provide freedom. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray today for my friends in this room who would sit here and ponder that you are the gate. Lord, for those who are not followers of you today, I pray that today maybe they would take the risk and ask you to come in and be the gate in their lives. That they would simply say, Lord, would you come and be in my life? Lord, for those who are followers of you today, I pray that they would be challenged to get to know your voice, to hear your songs over them, to hear your voice to them. Lord, to hear the rhythms of who you are in their life. And Lord, that they would act on those. In your name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Next week, we are going to take a look at I Am the Good Shepherd. It's going to be awesome. You guys have a wonderful Sunday in this beautiful weather. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless.